You've seen the headlines. Bonds are making a comeback. But if you've ever tried to invest in bonds, you know what a clunky, complicated, broken experience it can be. That's why at Public, they took fixed income and fixed it. Now you can find, evaluate, and buy thousands of bonds with an investing experience designed this century. Add fixed income to your portfolio with corporate, treasury, and municipal bonds. Go to public.com/bondspodcast to get started. This podcast is sponsored by Public. Full disclosures can be found at public.com/bonds. Chat with Traders is sponsored by Trade the Pool. Are concerns about limited buying power, insufficient capital, or fear of losing your own money preventing you from advancing your trading capabilities? Trade the Pool is an online stock trading prop firm that offers funding for stock traders. Demonstrate your skills, trade their capital, and keep your profits. You can engage in intraday trading and now swing trading on Trade the Pool with any U.S. stock or ETF. The procedure is straightforward. Pay an evaluation fee, successfully complete the evaluation, and get funded. Visit tradethepool.com/chat to learn more.
Trading in the financial markets involves a risk of loss. Podcast episodes and other content produced by Chat with Traders are for informational or educational purposes only and do not constitute trading or investment recommendations or advice.
This is episode 262 of Chat with Traders. I'm your host, Ian Cox. Today, I will be stepping in for Tessa to provide an introduction to this episode. In this special episode, we deviate from our usual format. We are presenting a recording of a recent discussion that took place within our Chat with Traders community on a Zoom call. The discussion focuses on the journey of a beginner trader to becoming funded by a prop firm. The conversation features two members of our community, Henrik Johansson and Patrick Peterson. If you remember, Patrick was a guest on episode 260. This time, Patrick leads the discussion with fellow trader Henrik. Other members of the Chat with Trader community, including myself, were present. This episode offers a unique opportunity for listeners to gain insights into the trading experiences of the fellow traders inside our community. Specifically, you will learn more about Henrik's background, his trading strategies, and how he achieved his goal of becoming a funded trader in 60 days. This milestone was crucial for Henrik at this stage of his trading journey. We have chosen to share this recording with a wider audience due to the high level of interest among traders who are considering or exploring the possibility of getting funded. Moreover, this discussion provides a more intimate understanding of the mindset, processes, and strategies Henrik adopted while trading alongside Patrick during the 60 days. Additionally, you will hear Patrick sharing in more depth about his strategies and techniques that was only touched on in episode 260. As a raw community recording, we apologize for any deviation in audio quality from our regular podcast standards. The recording spans nearly 2 hours, but it is filled with valuable insights, ideas, entertainment, and humor. We hope you enjoy it.
I'm so happy that you are here. So thank you, Scott, Ian, Morad, Nuno, Arasimo, Michael, and Tessa. Okay, Henrik, say about something about you. So what do you trading? What do you do now? What is your background? It's your show now.
So my background is actually in engineering. I've been doing that. I've been working at sea for about 20 years as an engineer, and then ashore in shipping companies as technical superintendent and so on. So that's my background. And I've had my own company also for a little while. Then I decided to take on trading. I like the idea of the flexibility and the freedom, and hopefully also the financial freedom eventually over time. The main reason for me was you know, that I was looking towards freedom and not having to work together with other people. It's not that I don't like other people, but it's like, you know, decide for yourself what to do. And so I started right now. It's actually 1 year and 3 months, 4 months almost ago since I opened my first chart. I had no clue what to do, but it came to me eventually. I took a few online courses like most people, I suppose, watched YouTube and so on. And one of my first mentors was, or mentor, but actually someone I followed was Tom Hougaard. And I liked his trading style with the price action. And I liked his approach towards the mental game. So naturally, since he was trading the 5-minute chart, then I was trading the 5-minute chart as well. And I spent huge amount of hours on backtesting and research, trying to find my own setups and testing the setups by backtesting, like backtesting several months, year, 2 years, and then trying them real time. And I think I was quite good at the mechanical approach. Like if I had decided based on my backtesting that I wanted to take a trade on a certain signal, then I did it. But the problem for me was basically managing the trade and finding the good exits and managing my stop loss and all those things that doesn't come by itself immediately, of course. So anyway, I think in February, I joined Chat with Traders community. And that was after I had listened to a few podcasts by Chat with Traders. And this is also when I met Patrick, because he was my accountability partner from the very beginning. I joined the TAP program from the very, very beginning. So that's how we came to talk. And then, yeah, then it developed over that. We traded together a lot, and I changed some of my approaches and the style, and I kept some of it. So I tried to find the golden nuggets from both sides, so to speak. And here we are today.
Let's look back 60 days ago before we start the prop firm journey. What was your main trading journey? What do you trade? You talk about the 5 minutes. So what was you looking for?
Basically, I think I'm a breakout trader. That's I didn't mean it. It's not meant like that. I didn't mean it to be like that, but that's how it became. That suited my personal style, let's say. So I need to see the breakouts, and I trade the indices. I should mention that as well. Yeah, indices, mostly DAX and FTSE on the European sessions, and then NASDAQ and Dow Jones on the American sessions. But yeah, since our journey here, I've gone over to only trade in NASDAQ. Yeah, the setups are mostly, yeah, breakouts. And I need to see the price action. Basically, I have a kind of a pattern that I see first, but I don't take a trade based on that pattern only. I also need to see the price action and what we call the nervous candles, so to speak, that we see that, okay, there is something pushing here, and hopefully it's pushing in the right direction, and then I take the trade, and that's it.
Yeah, nice. And do you remember what we have changed that you was ready to say, now I'm interested to become a prop term further? So I remember when we have our AP sessions for the TAP program, where we was meet regular. One of the biggest parts what we talk about was every time cut the losers fast. So yes. I was talk to you every time. So this was the AR strategy, 2-1 or 3-1. And yeah. I was talk to you every time, man, you have your cut your losers fast. And I remember that you was a little bit depressed because you have some good winning weeks, and then you have some week where you make some losses. And then I was talk to you why you use your own capital and why you don't choose some prop firm. I talked to you also about the trading copies, when you have a trade copy and you trade the futures. Yep. So you place maybe one trade and you place this in 10 accounts, yep, prop firm accounts, and the risk is much easier for you. Mm-hmm. And you can make tons of money. Yeah. And I think this was the point where I catch you, correct?
Yes, I think so. And I want to go back also to where you said cut the losers quickly and cut them short. And yeah, you're right. I was trading based on Rs, like risk to rewards ratios. And I could, if I had decided that, okay, this is what I'm prepared to risk to get that kind of reward. But then if the market wouldn't want to give me that reward, I would still let the market sometimes take me out with a full R, let's say, loss. And you showed me also to trade on the 1-minute chart instead. which is better in a way, in one way, I think it's better when it comes to determining if you want to cut the losers very quickly, because you can see the price action more clearly and the patterns there. So I became, I would say, quite effective with that after a while to cut the losses. That was the main point, I think, for me to turn it around. Because like you said, I had a couple of actually months, good months, where I really confirmed that my backtested setups and strategies really worked. But then in, I think it was in April, late March, early April, I had a losing month, and I just kept on losing, and I didn't know what to do. And you just told me, why do you keep hanging on to those losers? Why do you give back the money when you have a profit, even if it's not one full R, what you decided you want? Even if you have the profit, just take it, take the profit, and then get in again if it goes the right way. So that was a big turning point for me.
Yeah, and I remember some lesson from my famous boxer. It's Mike Tyson. He say, everybody have a plan until he get the punch in the face.
Yes.
So as a trader, every trader have a plan. Every trader have a backtest plan until he get the punch from the market.
Yes.
So, and in this case,
always changes, so, yeah.
Yeah, the market is always changes. And I think this was the beginning where we say, okay, now it's maybe time for you. First, we change your strategy. Yes. So you was trading in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was told to you, hey, you miss all the action from the US market.
Yeah.
You remember? So yeah. what was you doing?
Yeah. You know, I was trading from 9 o'clock in the morning when European markets opened, and I traded until basically lunchtime. So 3 hours. And then I was doing something else. I also had my company. I still had my company on the side, just doing some consultancy work. I did that for a couple of hours. And then I started to trade when the US markets opened, which would be 3:30 our time. Yeah. And then I traded until basically 5 o'clock. And that was it for me. So, yeah, when we started to trade, then I just let go of the morning sessions. I didn't trade it anymore. And then we started to trade the American afternoon sessions instead, and I see the action there is so much greater than actually the European sessions. So
yeah, and also it was the big impact for you, I remember, because of the tools. So when we watch the European market as European people, we have not the tools, or we can have the tools, but we pay so much money for this.
The level 2 day.
Yeah, but we can use many tools for the US market. Mm-hmm. If everyone has some interest, they can write us some direct messages or no problem. But this was a game changer for you when I talked to you about level 2 options flow and all the stuff, how you can see how the future market is rising. Yeah. So yeah. I give you the example about the QQQ and the SPY, the ETFs. It was never before in your mind, correct?
No. And now I must say that I feel completely naked if I don't have the tape in front of me, like the tickers, yeah? And when I see the level 2, I can, yeah, of course I can trade without it maybe, but I feel naked. So I need to have that on one of my monitors all the time, you know? And
don't forget the news.
The news. and what really convinced me to start a subscription with the news was when we had that fake explosion on the Pentagon, yeah?
This was
1.5 months ago, and we were sitting there and trading, and you had your news on, and I think you heard something or you saw on Twitter, I don't remember it now, but you said
I was
and we just took a short position and we just wrote it.
Yeah, this was the Pentagon news fake. I have my news quark on.
Yeah.
And we get the message that a bomb is exploding near the Pentagon,
which is terrible.
Yeah, but this is completely terrible. But no confirmation and all the stuff. But
nothing on the news, nowhere.
Yeah, nothing on the news. Nothing, yeah. Nothing. No. And I told you, come, let's put us the full money power and short the shit like now we can. And we do it. So I do it. You was the first, the first seconds you was not check it.
I was hesitating. Yeah.
So,
I didn't go all in. So,
yeah, but, we go all in, and we shorted like shit. So, and we make big money. So it was really nice. So this was the beginning. So, and then I think we make a point on how we select the right prop trading, what meets your needs. So what we do, tell the people something, how we select the right perfume, what we are looking for.
Yeah, first of all, this was completely new to me. I didn't even know about it. I heard about the S&B Capital and those things, but I thought, well, this is not for me. That's way out of my league. And then you showed me a few examples, Patrick, where, you know, you can join this prop firm or join that prop firm, just buy an evaluation account. And if you make it, you make it. If you don't make it, then, you know, you can go on to the next one or whatever. So we started to look at that. I think first I was concerned about the price in a way. So how much do I have to pay for this? So we found a few prop firms with good discounts where I bought.
Hey, it was 90%. This is not a 90%. Good discount. It wasn't a fantastic discount. It was only $20. So
I bought the account. I think it was actually $16 for an account, a 100K account. Then I came into the first mental pitfall, I would say, because when I was training that account, it didn't mean anything to me because I only spent $16 on it. I didn't, you know, I tried to follow my rules, but somewhere in the back of my head, I didn't care about it. So I pissed it away, one account after the other, and just buy a new one. No problem. It's so fun. It's so fun to put on like 10 MQs and see what happens. Yeah. But that's a learning experience.
Yeah. But this is backtesting of live backtesting. Yeah. So it's not backtesting, it's forward testing.
How so, not to. Yeah.
But yeah. So this was a big mental issue. Yeah. So because not to gamble and to trade, it was a big thing. Yeah. So if you have maybe 10 accounts and you can buy in bundle with 10 accounts and you pay maybe $25 for this, then you start to gamble. So you put the max full of buying power in it and see what has happened. So maybe it's you get it or maybe you lose it because you have 10 accounts. Fuck off. Correct?
Yeah.
So this was the biggest issue. And for all people who will be get funded, I think it's not a good idea to take it not serious. Because otherwise, we talk about often that we not generate good habits. You remember?
Yeah.
So we were thinking, hey, man, when we now trade like this, we get bad habits.
Yes.
We speak about every day when the day was over about the habits. What habits we generate now?
And so I think if you both of us in a way fell into that bit as well. You, as a very experienced trader, you did it as well. I mean, when we looked at the end of the day, how many trades did we put on today? It was like 219 or 182, you know, something like this. Completely crazy. Yeah, no respect whatsoever for the account.
Yeah, I buy the challenge also that we can see what has happened so that we can trade together. So we have the same rules, we trade together.
Yeah.
And I think we play it like a shit.
Yeah. I guess it's when you're...
And this was, like the, when you're, this was the biggest mistake. This was one of the mistakes. So, but after this, so we become seriously. Yeah, I think 10 days. We lost 10 days with all the shit gambles. So we can call it gambles. So it's fine. So it's a bad habit. Don't do it.
I think it's like an 18-year-old that can go to a nightclub for the first time of his life. He will get pissed drunk every day.
Yeah, and he tastes. I don't say it. Okay, so after this, what we do, I think we was saying, okay, now let us take it seriously, and we watch all prop firms, what happened. So I think we watch all Forex prop firms. So you say to me, hey, what rules have the prop firms and why have they the rules? Yeah, so we treat it like a business at the end. So we was watching all prop firms. So what are the rules from the prop firms? I think they have many, many different rules. So many have gambling rules, the average lot size.
For example.
Yeah, we have the news rules. You cannot trade on the news sometimes. We have the rules. You can trade only 20 contacts each day.
Yeah.
We have the rules about max position size. We have the drawdown rules. We have the end of the day drawdown. We have the trailing drawdown rules. There are so many things outside. And we see also that maybe you have a good entry price for the challenge, but if you get funded, you pay a lot that mm-hmm. you get the funded account. Yeah. Do you remember there was someone, you pay maybe $100? We don't say any name now. You pay $100, but when you get the funded account, you have to pay $900 for the signing fee that you get a funded trader. So, and this was completely shocked us. You remember, yeah?
Yeah, I remember.
So, and in this case, we was looking for someone who fits your needs. So you are a futures trader, and yeah. we want not the rules. So we want not the news rules. We want a good drawdown for us so that you can handle it. So this was the most one, so that we have not thinking about the trailing drawdown, and yeah. we want completely free in our trading style. So if we maybe trade 100 contacts today, maybe we won't trade tomorrow only 10 contacts. So we won't not have any gambling rule, yeah. something like this. Yeah. And we can name it. So we found Apex for you. And this was pity on me. So tell the people something about how it was going.
Yeah, one of the biggest issues for me was, of course, the trailing drawdown. I was not used to that from my own account. I was trading CFDs on my own account before. And the trailing drawdown was really giving me a headache. And some of the prop firms offered really small drawdown and the others bigger. So that was important for me. Then the rules, well, you know, I think we have one thing in common, and that is that we want to trade the big moves, yeah? And that's something I did before as well on my CFD account. I had actually some setups that I had only for news, and we traded that as well together, the earnings and whatever. Of course, your performance was way better than mine, but anyway, we had the same idea, I think. So that was important to not be locked out over the news, for example. I want to be able to trade that. Then the pricing, I mean, once you get funded, if you get funded, then it's important with the pricing for that as well. And I think those were the main issues for me that I wanted to keep under control, let's say, to suit my trading style and my needs. So we found this prop firm, we tried a couple of them, and we found this prop firm in the end. I think we could say the name, yeah?
Yeah, I was saying this.
Yeah, Apex. I just got a good feeling for them. It was like they seemed very serious, but still they let you run your own game to a certain point. And the price was okay. I mean, the entry price to get the evaluation account was okay. And now once I have passed the evaluation for one of my accounts, I can see also that the price for the live account is very good as well. So, yeah. That's what we chose.
Okay, let us make a break here, Henrik. So, Ian, maybe you can speak and ask a question.
Yeah. Hi, Henrik. Just curious about, is it correct that you opened up, did you say 10 different prop firm accounts, or were you joking?
No, it was not 10 different prop firms, but it was, I think I opened 25 accounts, actually. All in all, with the two different prop firms.
Oh, okay. With two different prop firms. Got it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I must say something about this. So we was first choosing Lilo Trading, and sometimes they have some good pricing. So they have a bundle. You can have 10 accounts, and you must qualify with one account in 30 days. So you get 10 accounts, and you can trade the 10 accounts like you want, but only one can qualify. And the biggest issue in this is when you have 10 trading accounts, you get really good comfortable. You say, "Yeah, man, if I pump up one account and I play it like not safety, you do it, boom, you lose your first account." And then you say, "Man, I have 9 accounts left." And you do it again. And at the end, you have maybe only one account or two accounts, but then you have the bad habit because you play 8 times before really shit games, and then you lose all your 10 accounts. And then you buy again for $25, 10 accounts. And this was what we're saying about. It looks so good that you have 10 accounts and only one qualify, but if you don't take it seriously because you pay only $25 maybe therefore, and so the price is maybe not a pain for you, you develop bad habits for the trading. So you get your risk management is poor, your choosing the trades is poor, and this was not good. So this was the point where we say, hey, now we have to stop this. We must become serious. We must trade our trading like a business and not like a gambler. So it was completely gambling at the end. Mm-hmm. And this was losing 10 days.
You've seen the headlines. Bonds are making a comeback. But if you've ever tried to invest in bonds, you know what a clunky, complicated, broken experience it can be. That's why at Public, they took fixed income and fixed it. Now you can find, evaluate, and buy thousands of bonds with an investing experience designed this century. They started at the beginning, reimagining the bond screener with an intuitive design that helps you zero in on the exact kinds of bonds you're looking for. Then they made it easier to evaluate each investment opportunity with better data in the places you need it most. Finally, they made investing in bonds as straightforward as stocks or any other asset. Add fixed income to your portfolio with corporate, treasury, and municipal bonds. Go to public.com/bondspodcast to get started. This podcast is sponsored by Public. Full disclosures can be found at public.com/bonds.
Are you a developing or seasoned day trader who trades the U.S. markets? Is the only thing stopping you from getting to the next level is having enough capital to trade? Trade the Pool is a unique online stock trading prop firm that funds stock traders worldwide. Not having to risk your own capital can help you focus on other things like making better decisions on your trades. There's no PDT rules to worry about. You got more than 12,000 stocks and ETFs to trade, long or short, and professional tools at your side. How you get funded is you show them your skills through a straightforward evaluation process. Once you pass the evaluation, you get funded and trade with their pool of money and split the profits. Don't let the lack of buying power, capital, or fear of losing your own money prevent you from taking your trading to the next level. Visit tradethepool.com/chat to learn more.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
You, Henrik, you mentioned earlier about your stop losses were that you were losing more money than you needed to because your stop losses weren't quite set correctly. Did I hear that correctly?
But I think it's a bit tricky to just say it like that. I think they were set correctly in a way, but what I should have done was to basically, if I saw that the market was changing its behavior and even if it didn't hit my stop loss yet, then you can basically tell that now there is like a 80% chance that I'm going to be stopped out. But I didn't stop myself out then. I just waited for the market to go down and stop me out, to accept the loss. And I think that is something as a new trader, for me, you're listening to so many people and so many people are saying you have to accept your losses. Losing is a part of the trading business or game, yeah? And I think there is a very fine line between accepting losses and being complacent about the losses. Like, okay, could I have had prevented this loss if I've done something differently? Could I just trail my stop loss or tighten it up a little bit when the market starts to go against me? All of those little things. And I think, like I said, I think the biggest contributing factor for me to that I took heavier losses than I needed to was because of this that I heard over and over again from different mentors or YouTube players that you have to accept your losses. And I think that got to me, that I just accepted them too much, unnecessarily.
Uh-huh. So did you find that you would end up getting out of your positions prior to your stops getting hit? And did you end up having to cultivate a feel for the markets, like actually paying attention more than you normally would if you just set the stop and you say, hey, well, I've got my stop set, I don't need to pay much close attention?
Yeah.
How did that work for you?
You know, if we go back to that part of not paying so much attention, I have to go back to my backtesting routines, how I do that, how I did my research. So I did my research and the backtesting only on paper. I printed out charts for like 500 pages of months worth and years worth of charts. And I just, you know, took a pen and I drew lines and I said, okay, so if I enter here, then I have my stop loss here and I will not take profit until I'm 1 hour, like as much as I have at stop, as much as, if I have 40 points stop loss, for example, I need 40 points profit before I take and move my stop loss. When I did that, on paper, I often came up with like 50% win rate, 55% win rate, whatever. And that was completely enough. But then when you trade it live, you have to realize that you will not meet that kind of performance live. Whatever you do on paper, you will not never meet that live. So maybe you will meet, I don't know, 50% of that live. I think my problem was that I just didn't take all the trades that I should have taken because I was simply not there in front of the screen and or I was afraid or something else. So when I took the trades and waited for me to be stopped out, then I just lost too much. And when me and Patrick started to discuss this, I, like you said, I developed, I tried to develop, and I think I did it. I have developed a feel, an intuition for the market to tell me that, okay, now either it's going to break or it's not going to break. So let's move my stop loss to break even immediately, more or less. And if it doesn't break and goes back on me, I will be stopped out. But it can always break again. So then I will go in again. I will not get paralyzed and say, okay, I was stopped out. So what do I do now? I go and get a cup of coffee. No, I just wait for the next break again. So I can get stopped out like three times on break even before I get the runner, before I get the trade. But that is better than to wait for the stop, for the market to go back on me, because it could have done that as well, just as well as going the right direction, it could have gone back on me. And instead of being stopped out on break even, I could have been stopped out on minus 40 points, for example, with my old style. I don't know if that makes sense, but
great.
Yeah, and also Ian, he was asking about the rules from the prop form, correctly. Mm-hmm. So I can say something about this. So let's talk about 2 minutes about this. So when you see the prop firms, start with the Forex prop firms where you can trade Forex, you can trade indices, you can trade gold, you can trade CFDs like this. So we have someone of this. We have the Fivers, we have FTMO, we have my Forex fund, the three biggest ones. And then we have some others. So at the moment, when you watch the market closely, many prop firms pop out. And on the website, most of the time, they have all the same rules. You think like, hey, it's you can choose maybe only the price where you get the better price. But you find the details in the fine prints. And this is the dangerous thing. I think from the traders, maybe only 1% look to the fine prints before he buy. So in the fine prints, you find maybe some gambling rules. This means you must have an average from your last week. You cannot have maybe 50% trade more 50% than last week or 50% less than last week. When you do this, then you gamble. So this is one rule. And this is very hard, this rule. And then you have a second one. You have the stop loss rule. So you have place stop losses. Then you have maybe news. You cannot trade the news. You cannot trade the FOMCs when it's beginning on something like this. You will find all these things in the fine prints. And this is my advice for all people who get interesting and get funded. Look first in the fine prints. What's in the fine prints before you buy something or marry it with something? And the biggest issue is the payouts. When you get the payouts, so some prop firms give you the payouts bi-weekly. This is very nice when you get this. Other prop firms give you your first payout 30 trading days after 30 trading days. What is this meaning? So you have to trade 30 trading days when you get funded. So this could be happen. You get your first payout in after 2 months when you start as funded trader. And this is a big issue because it's the risk for the prop firm. It's very nice. They have maybe 60 days to pay you out. But in 60 days, it could be possible that you blow up your funded account and you get no payout. The other things is the limitation of the payouts. And also, someone is, if you have some end of the day drawdown, or you have a static drawdown, or you have a trailing drawdown, or what they offer as drawdown in trading stop, and end of the day, or a max drawdown. So you will find this all in the fine prints and in details. So, and sometimes what you trade in the evolution is not the same what you trade as a funded trader. As a funded trader, you get harder rules, and you must see if you can work with this. Is this your trading style or not? Sometimes the evolution looks like sexy, but when you get the funded trader, it looks no more sexy because you trade with live capital, and they give you other rules. So in the Forex, it's really special. In the stock world, you have trade the pool, you have day trade the world. I think there's some other one, but this is peanuts. Day trade the world and trade the pool is the biggest one, and they have completely different styles. So on day trade the world, you have to pay for your losses. So that you have no challenge, you have no challenges. You have give them money that you get instant funding. So you have to pay for your losses. You get the money. You get maybe $20,000, but you have to give them $500 as deposit for your losses. This is a one way. On trade pool, you have the challenge. You have different rules. And on the futures world, it's the same. So sometimes you have end of the day drawdown. You have payouts. You get not the full payout from your profits. You get limited payouts. Maybe you get the first month, you get 1,000. The second month, you get 1,000. The third month, you get 1,000. And after the third month, you get the full payout. So because they told you they want long-term relationship. You can look in the fine print. They say they want with you long-term relationship. But when you realize after 4 months, you get the full payout. It's only mathematic. In 4 months, how possible is it that the people lost your funded account? I would say more than 60%. I have no idea, but my feeling is more than 60% will lose their account and they get never the full payout. So this is how you must looking for the fine prints, and you will find that in everyone. So on the website, they will look always sexy. They look all the same. It's the pricing, all the stuff, but you have to watch in the fine prints. You will find the different in the fine prints. Yeah.
Hmm. So we have a quick question here from what about the trailing drawdown with Apex? And to add to that, when is the drawdown calculated from? Is it intraday or is it end of the day or end of the week?
Apex is intraday. So, and this was the curious thing. So, what we have to handle, Henrik and me. So on Apex, it's always from your high. Maybe you make now on your first trade 500. You are $500 in profit, but you don't take your profit, and you take maybe your profit when you $100 profit. So this means you lost $400 from your drawdown. So because your high was 500. And you catch it only on 100. So this means you lost $400 for your drawdown. This is the trailing drawdown, not the end of the day drawdown. So, and the risky thing is when you trade big with a trailing drawdown and you have not enough trailing drawdown, maybe you have only 1,500 trailing drawdown, and you trade the news or some earnings, and you know it can be very fast up. You may be 500-600 in profit, and then you get a strong pullback in seconds, and you find maybe your position in $100 loss. What is this meaning with a trailing drawdown? 600 profit, 100 loss. You lost $700 from your trailing drawdown. So this is the trailing drawdown. It's always from your top to your loss. So this is the dangerous thing from the trailing drawdown.
That was the the biggest change for me as well, because I was used to just staying in the trade. That's also something we discussed, Patrick, yeah?
Yeah.
That when we had this pullbacks, when I traded my old style and on the 5-minute chart, a pullback was completely normal for me. And I would just add to the trade after the pullback. I wouldn't think about getting out just because it's a pullback. But if the market doesn't go up after the pullback, then I would have lost like $1,000 or something in trailing drawdown.
Yeah. This was why we was change the strategy, yes? So we was saying, okay, we cut our losers very fast, but when we have some profit, we take the profit.
Yeah.
And we wait for the next setup. If we see something what is good to trade, bam. We are in again. We catch the move. We catch the $200, but we get out because of the trailing dollar, correctly?
I take profit much faster now than I did before. I saw a question about that as well. Take profit orders. No, I never. Actually, I don't know so much about this, but I never do any orders. I just play, you know, market price and everything. Yeah. I play what I see, and it goes with market price, everything. So I manually execute the trade, and I manually get out. I have my stop loss. That's the only thing. Sometimes not even that. It depends. If it's a news event, then stop loss is not good. That can kill you very fast. No limit orders, no stop orders, nothing.
I can give you an example why I think, on my point of view, maybe Henrik have the same point of view, or he have a different point of view. You can say something about this. Why I use market orders? Because when I see some price action, I will become directly into the market. I know I can become a bad price, but I want directly in the market. When I put some limit order this in, maybe I don't get filled. Maybe I get filled. I don't like it. When I'm trade, I will become directly in, and maybe I will become directly out in 30 seconds because I have enough profit, or I take the losses. So it's my average holding time is most of the time 30 seconds, 1 minute, because of the trailing drawdown. Henrik, what is your point of this?
Yeah, I think I agree with you with everything you say there. I have used stop orders sometimes in my previous strategies on news, but the slippage can be humongous, and then you end up making nothing or just a little bit of what you could have made if you just played by intuition and a feeling, because most of the times you have a feeling where the market wants to go before it does it.
So Murat, come live, ask question.
Hi. Hey, I wasn't sure how the format is.
Yeah, I know. You can
so
come
many
in.
Questions.
Let me now kick your ass, okay?
Sure.
I'm 100%. I'm now ready. When you think about the fees, give a shit about fees. What are fees? Fees means it's maybe one tick or two tick in the futures. Give a shit about this.
Mm-hmm.
Why you think on the fees? Yeah, the fees can be really big. The fees can be put you out of the game, but don't think about the fees because you need only two ticks, maybe one tick. Then you handle the fees and then you're in a profit. Give a shit about the fees. You must think about only on your position size, that you don't get too big. Or you can go in very big and then take it. So, and when you think about the fees, think about the micros and think about the minis. So if you trade maybe the MNQ, you pay a lot of fees. When you trade the NQ, you trade less. So you must think about like this, but never think about the fees. If you think about the fees, give a shit about this. It's only one or two ticks what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think about this. I know fees can be really frustrated. Henrik, it's really frustrating sometimes. Maybe you have $800 profit and you your profits are $400. And at the end, you get only $400. But this is the game. Man, in Germany, we have some words. It's good to pay taxes, because when you pay taxes, you have make money. And when you pay the highest taxes in Germany, it's the best ever what you can have, because you be rich. You are a motherfucker rich person. So, and this is the same in the fees. So when I pay maybe $1,000 or $2,000 fee, man, I make a motherfucker profit. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. So please never think about the fees.
Fair enough. No, just curious, because it's an evaluation account, if that comes into the factor, but I agree with your point.
It does in a way, because the fees are included in your trailing drawdown. So you have to be careful with that. So I mean, if you take $1,000 loss plus fees, then actually you have lost $1,200 of your trailing drawdown, for example, if the fees were $200. Yeah. So that is one thing to think about. But usually when I trade this account, I always have the, in my case, it's the Rhythmic Trader or Tradovate Rhythmic Trader, where I can see the peak value and the cash on hand, I think they call it. So the peak value is, and the difference between the peak value and the cash on hand, or actually the liquidate threshold, this is where you have to keep an eye on that all the time and don't let it run away. So I try to keep it like maximum $100, maybe $200 difference. So if I have a trailing drawdown at the start of $2,500, I never want to be more than $200 difference between the peak and the actual value, which means that I could then have $2,300 trailing drawdown instead of $2,500, but not more than that. So in that case, the fees come into play, but I don't think about it when I trade.
Yeah. I prefer using limit orders. That's why I was asking if there's a big difference between limit and market.
No, it's the fees are the same in the evaluation. So when you trade your own bank account, then it's be a different. But if you trade for the prop firm, you have static fees. So the fees are always the same and make no difference. Maybe we will change your trading style in the future also. So let's see.
Maybe.
Okay. So lose our line. So the second point of our part is, Henrik, how do we break through mental barriers? So what was first your biggest mental issue when you was in the challenge?
I think, I don't know, maybe we discussed something that you remember better than me, but the first thing that comes to mind is that I like to hold on to my trades, and that is not good when it comes to the trailing drawdown. Sometimes it's not good, most of the times actually. So I had to break that one. Yeah. Do you have anything that you remember that I said or we said?
Yeah, 100%. You remember about our wheel?
The wheel
is so... We have an idea.
Yeah. It always comes back.
This is the biggest mental issue from us. So we came up and we have an idea. So how we can handle this. So we have an idea. Next day, we have a new idea. Then we have again a new idea. Yeah. And then after eight days,
we're back to the same.
After 8 days, we came back to the same idea. The biggest learning from the wheel is it's not the rules, or it's not the trading. The trading style is not have to the biggest effect on your way to get funded. The biggest way is your mental state. So, and when your mind will trick you always, and this was what the mind was doing with us. So he was saying, hey, man, maybe this was not a good idea. Let's change our trading a little bit. And then we change it. But at the end, we will come back every time. So this is why I call this a wheel. Mm. So we have always the same ideas and we come back every time to the same idea. And we were saying about this. So the market is not every day the same.
Yeah.
So, and at the end, we will come about the trading style. Let's see what we have now on questions. Do any problems allow for swing trading? Ian, yeah. What do you mean with swing trading? Is holding the position overnight or holding for
long? Yeah. I mean, do any prop firms that you've encountered allow for holding overnight positions?
Yes. On the Forex world, they give someone. It's calling like FTMO. They have swing trading accounts, and I think other prop firms have the same. So maybe the Fivers or other ones have the same. Tessa is saying trade to pool. Trade to pool have it at the moment not. At the moment it's day trading only, but they work on it that you can hold your stocks longer. Yeah.
I heard that they will have that ready this week.
This week?
Trade the pool? Uh-huh. But but it's unofficial.
Yeah. Oh, now we make some lunch at the moment. Okay. So maybe trade the pool. I have no idea. I cannot say something about this. I don't want to go in trouble. Maybe trade the pool have this also. So yeah, it's not many ones. In the futures world, I have no idea. I think they have not swing trading accounts. But in the Forex world and in the stock world, yeah. Yeah, so, okay. Why did Henrik change his trading style? This is the point three. Oh, why do you change your trading style? And what do you was changing in detail?
I think we touched upon many things already, and that was like taking profit instead of holding on to a trade that went against me. That is one of the biggest changes for me, I think. I changed from the 5-minute chart to the down to the one and 2-minute charts. And I started to trade with just a couple of indicators, the SMAs, SMA 8, SMA 20, and SMA 200. I didn't trade with any indicators at all before. One very big change that came to me over this period of time, over these 2 months, I always wanted to treat trading as a business. That was my intention from the very beginning. And I tried hard to do it. But I see now, last month maybe, that it turned around. So now trading treats me as an employee. I don't have to treat it as a business in a way. If I lost on a day, I compare it to my previous job, you know, when for example, I put together a pump or something like that. I was overhauling a seawater pump or you name it, and the pump is not working. Then I have to figure out what I did wrong. And this just comes natural to me now. And it didn't do that before. So that is one of the biggest changes. I think it's not like changing the trading style. That's not an answer to the question, but there's just one of the biggest turnarounds I've had that I can notice since we started this.
Yeah, okay. Tessa, maybe you can come with your micro and can clarify that trade pool is not from CVT. So what is the relationship between, or Ian? So
So Chat with Traders, we partnered with Trade the Pool for the trading contest. And that's, I mean, it's just a limited partnership for a temporary period of time. And that's all, but we don't have any other relationship, any long-term permanent relationship with them.
Okay, and Trade the Pool is not the prop firm of CVT. So for right. clarification, because we get the message in the chat and that we can clarify, we get the point. Henrik and Tessa was asking you, mm-hmm. Henrik, knowing what you know now, what you have done, anything differently in your journey to becoming funded?
The first two things that comes to mind is, first of all, I would have tried this earlier, sooner. but I simply didn't know about it. I didn't know that it was an option for me. I thought it was like out of my league, like I said in the beginning. The second thing is that probably I shouldn't have gambled as much as I did in the beginning. But I also think that that was a learning experience. It's something like, I'm not sure that it was really bad. It just, we lost 10 days. That's what we said, basically 2 weeks or 10 trading days on this gambling. But it's also, it makes you feel where are the boundaries. And I like that idea to feel out, to actually reach the boundaries. So then I know, okay, this is that side and that is that side. And I have to stay in between. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. So were you consistently profitable before going with the funded account and then there was some trouble, or did you care about being consistently profitable before you went with a funded account? How did that work? How did your profitability work before and after?
So I wouldn't say that I'm a consistently profitable trader yet, even now. I was somewhat consistent, I think, for a couple of months before we started this challenge, me and Patrick. But like I said, I had like a few weeks or a month of consistent losers, basically, before we started this. And I just thought I had to do something because the market has changed. Something has changed and my setups doesn't work anymore. But I had come to the point where I was more or less a break-even trader. And I started to take out the salary from my trading account. So basically I had, for the last couple of months before we started this, I took out 50% of my salary from the trading account and the other 50% from my business. So I was in the starting pits, I would say, of being consistently profitable. Yeah,
thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott, you know the three stages of becoming profitable?
Okay, maybe I only know the first stage of being profitable, but go ahead.
Okay, the first stage is you make losses. So this is a bad stage. And the second stage is you get break even. You take your wins, you take your lose, you take your wins, you take your lose. So this is the second stage. And the second stage is the most challenged part, because on the second stage, most of the people get frustrated because they don't see any light in the dark. And then they become this on the sweet part. They have only losers only one day each week. And now it's the part to how big is your loss in the one day of the week. Take your losses very smart. So this is why I preach every time to Henrik, cut your losses very fast. Bam, 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 get out. If you see that this trades doesn't work, go out. Because the market is so sexy, it gives you so nice setups. And when I see something in other communities, most people get done of the day in the first 2 hours of the trading, because they use his buying power on the first 2 hours when the market is open. And I have no idea why they do this, because when I real talk to you, the best opportunities will come in the middle of the day and in the end of the day. It's always the same. So when you can watch back the last 60 days, you have the best easy trades. I call it the easy trades, where you can make easy money. I know it's not easy to make money, but in these trades, you can go big and it falls very hard. Because for myself, I like it more when we come down, when the market goes down. Because when we get down, then this goes fast and we can make fast profit. So when we go up, it's like step by step by step by step by step. And then the market comes down in maybe 5 minutes. And this is the easy trade. This is what I call the easy trade. When we are in this area, then it's easy to make money. You can make maybe a bigger position and you find your ass in a good profit area.
Mm. What time of the day do you find that these easier setups occur?
The easier setups is in the middle of the day and then the end of the day. And And it's easy to say why, because when the market is wake up and maybe it comes down or maybe it comes up, and you can watch what's going on with the market. It's better to watch what's going on with the market and then see when the market touch maybe in resistance, maybe in support, and you know now is the point that the market will change its direction. And when you know the point, then you can go in. Then you know the direction. And then you get the easy trades. Then you catch the easy trades. And you must be watch carefully when you trade maybe the indices. Watch carefully the NASDAQ and the SPY so that they get in the same direction. You have this often. So we have this last week. Henrik, you may remember. So the SPY is climbing and the NASDAQ will falling. But the NASDAQ doesn't falling because the SPY is climbing. But the NASDAQ looks like ready to fall. And when you notice that the NASDAQ is looking ready to fall, then wait. Watch the S&P. Watch when the S&P comes to the resistance and he cannot break it because the NASDAQ is coming to fall. He's ready to fall. And when the S&P is falling, then the NASDAQ will falling so hard. So this is maybe one sign where you can looking for. And this is the easy trades. This is what I call the easy trades, where you can make easy money. And the other trades, you will stop out, you take your loss, you take small profits, and at the end, maybe you are break even, or you have losers, or you end of the day with you touch your drawdown or something like this. But Henrik, I think it's your show. You can say more about this.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I was actually, before we started with this, I was always trading with Dow Jones on one monitor and NASDAQ on the other. And I over the months, I found some confluence rules, let's say, that exactly like Patrick is saying, that you can feel that one market is more hesitant than the other. And the hesitant market is the one that you want to short when the other market is has reached its resistance level or is ready to go down, then the first market will fall very, very hard. And that's a game I was playing before as well, this confluence game. So totally, I agree. And the trick, I think, especially for a beginner trader, is to just have the patience to wait for this and not trade in the meantime, yeah? Not over trade, just wait for it.
Yeah, and watch carefully. So we have on our charts the SMA 20, 208. Mm-hmm. And watch carefully if we have some bounces or holdings, maybe the 20 SMA. I give you an example. So on Friday, the SPY was always bouncing on the 20 SMA on the 1 minute time frame. And it looks like now we came down, but we don't came down because the SPY was always in the end of the day touching the 20 SMA, and then he came back, boom, 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 boom. But at the end of the day, the SPY cannot hold the 20 SMA, and then we get coming so hard down. And this was the point. And this is patient. This is what Henrik say. Wait, have patience. Look for the signs, what the market gives you. And then catch the easy trades. So Tessa is asking a question. Now that you're funded, the pressure of getting funded is no longer there, right? So does this change much your strategy going forward? Let me say something before you go ahead, Henrik.
Yeah.
This is some question where only people can ask who are not trading with a prop firm. Because when you get funded, you know you have the same rules, or they change the rules from your evaluation. So you get the same rules what you trade in the evaluation. So, and now you have a live account. So you cannot trade. It's not good to change your strategy now, because with this strategy, what you have, you get funded. So when you change now your strategy, you get maybe lose your funded account. And this is not so good. So have the same strategy, but place more safer. Because remember always how long it's take to get funded and how much time you invest to get funded. Not the money. The money is the second part. I think the time is more valuable. So you get not back the time, but you can get back the money. It's no problem. But you lose your time. And always remember when you get funded about this. But okay,
Yeah, I would say just to add to that, no, I don't. I think I'm just as nervous now, maybe even more nervous, because now is real money on the line, yeah? And I cannot just get the account back by paying like $20 or something. So now I need to be careful. So I can tell you honestly that before I got funded, I was trading one NQ all the time, even two NQs. And my profits came quite big when they came. And also I took some bad falls when that came. But now I trade one MNQ because I want to make buffer. basically, I'm really afraid to lose my account, so I'm a little bit chicken now, and I trade one or two MNQs. I want to have my buffer. I want to have like $1,000, or preferably, I would like to have the safety net, they call it, $2,600 before I can start to take out profit. I mean, to take the take payouts. So, yeah, I'm trading more carefully now.
But if you get trading with the prop firms, then you know all the stuff. So when you get funded, you get 100% nervous. And this is the point where the most people loses his account on the first stage. I don't know. I have no statistic, but I can ask someone who can give me some statistic about this. How many people will lose in the first 10 days his funded account? This will be a very great statistic, because they get so nervous. And when you take your first losses, I think you don't take your first losses, Henrik, in the first beginning. But maybe you take your losses in the first week with $500 on your funded account. I'm be 100% sure that you get completely nervous and you make many bullshit trades.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and this is the dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which trading tools and indicators does Henrik utilize in his trading?
Yeah, so like I said, I started to use some indicators, very simple ones, the simple SMA, the simple moving averages, SMAs. And that's simply because since I started with a 1 minute chart instead of the 5 minute chart, I needed to find something to back it up with, back up my decisions with also. Patrick introduced me to his old mentor, not personally, but he introduced me to the courses of his old mentor, and he's using the SMA. So I started to do that as well, and more take on that style, which is better for the shorter time frames, I think. Other than that, I think price action beats everything. And I think we are talking about it a lot when we are trading, Patrick, as well, that, okay, now you start to feel that, the market wants something now. The market wants something. And then when you get that feeling, then you need to be with your finger on the mouse button and you need to be ready to click immediately.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the only things. And the other trading tools, I don't know. I mean, as I said, I start to use the level two data and I can almost not live without it anymore. And I started to use the market squawk, the new squawks. Yeah, the options order flow. I'm charting on TradingView, for example. I mean, I'm just putting up my lines to draw patterns to see if I have some wedges or triangles or whatever you call it. But I'm not basing my decision on those. That's more of like a guideline to see what kind of direction I think that the market might take. Like not 50-50, but it's 60-40 or 70-30% chance that it will go in one particular direction. And when I have that in my head that I think it's going to go up, for example, then I just wait for this, the nervousness of the price action to confirm that to me to take the trade.
Yeah. So we have a question from Nuno. How you define your risk management in your trading? Do you have intraday stop loss, a percentage from your account, like 1% or so?
I have my intraday stop loss. Like if I lose a certain amount in a day, then I will not continue trading. It depends on how the market looks like a little bit, because sometimes I can feel that I'm able to take this back. And that's also something that Patrick put into my head, that don't be satisfied with losers. Don't be satisfied with losing. Take it back if the market will give it back. But you can kind of feel that if you're just losing and losing and losing like 10 times in a row, 20 times in a row, then okay, then I will never take it back today. But yeah.
But this is bullshit. This is completely bullshit. So okay. You don't stop it. You don't stop it. So Because when you say some really great setup and you watch the chart, you cannot say, I'm not trading anymore. When you really mean this professional and you say, hey, well, fuck, I take my losses, I don't trade it, then you must shut off your computer and take a walk and come not back. Yeah. Otherwise, if you watch your charts, you will take the trade because you think maybe now it's a good time and now I can make my losses back, and then you get your losses again. Sometimes you bring your losses back to the profit.
And that's something that I've done more often recently. I can be down. I don't count the percentage. I don't trade like 1% or 2% of my account or something like this. It's more on hard stops or the feeling as well. But it's so many times that I've been down like $1,000 until the last 2 hours of the day. And then I take everything back and I go out with $300 plus. And that's something I would never do in the past, because I would just accept that loss and not trade anymore.
Oh, Henrik, can you give the people an example of what has happened when I have maybe $1,000 loss or $2,000 loss or $3,000 loss? What I will do?
But that's what you need to trade good. We all know that. You need to be on the losing side to put
really... Yeah. So what I always do?
You always add to your losses, and you add very, very aggressively.
And so, then I bring it back.
Then you bring it back.
99% I bring it back. And I come back with a big, big fat win. But yes. 1% is, I find myself in a very big bad ass position. But 99%, when I have $3,000 loss, I come back with $20,000 profit. Yes. Because my position is so big.
There's so many times I've asked you, I remember that. There's so many times I've asked you, because we've been trading and you're like down $5,000 or something. And then suddenly you say, bam, I'm $7,000 plus. And I thought, what the fuck happened now? Then I know that you went in with 30 NQs and you on a losing position and you took it back.
Yeah, this is maybe your question. So have we some risk management? So I think the risk management is good. I love to have a risk management, but at the end, when you are a full-time trader and you trade maybe the whole market session, then it's really hard to don't take a trade. So Tessa is asking, is going through the funded route recommended for all traders? I ask this because some people don't agree. Henrik.
Yeah. I would say it is. It is recommended. I recommend it because there's a few reasons, but I think one of the reasons is actually the rules that they have slightly different rules from what you're maybe you have on your own account. And I think it's good to experience those rules and to really try to abide by them. Because if you think long term that perhaps you want to trade for other people in a few years from now or something, then I think that if you have been trading for a prop firm and you manage to stay with that prop firm and to abide by the rules, then this is like a good thing to have in your CV in a way. But I would also say when it comes to the money, when it comes to the trading with money, losing my biggest loss, allowable loss I had per trade in my own account was $200. That was maximum what I allowed myself to lose in one trade. And for that money, I can actually buy 10 evaluation accounts. So if I'm not really a consistently profitable trader that can for sure make money using my own funds, then I think I'd rather spend $200 on 10 evaluation accounts to learn trading instead of losing my own money in the process. That's one thing. So that's why I would recommend to anyone who is struggling, save your own money, keep them on the side, buy a few evaluation accounts, and see this as losing your money, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and also, I have also a personal view on it. When people get not angry with to get funded. I can say that these people would not agree to get funded. They have enough buying power. So they can give a shit about this. So they can trade maybe with 100K, they can trade with 200K, they can trade with 300K. But if you're an average trader, beginner trader, developer trader, maybe you have only 10K, 20K. If something is good, you have maybe 50K. So you have not so much buying power. You cannot trade like a pro. And you can have big losses. You can lose $500 each day. You can lose $1,000 each day. But with a prop firm, you have the buying power. You can play like a pro. So you can have maybe 300K buying power. You can have 1 million buying power. And you can lose more. So you can lose $5,000, $7,000, $10,000. And this gives you more comfortable in your trades, especially when you develop some trading strategies. And also, if you lose maybe $250 on your private account, you can buy maybe 10 evaluations accounts. So step by step by step. So you don't have to lose your own money. Take this as investment, maybe put $300 on the side and take the challenges from the prop firms. So if you have not the ability to have 100K, 500K, 1 million, then I will recommend it for everyone, for every trader. And my personal view of this is in 10 years, we have no retail traders. We call it prop traders. Now we call it retail traders. But in the future, we will call retail traders prop traders. And we have the professional world, we have the prop firm world, and we have the big banks. But we have no more retail traders. This is my point of view. So I had a question from Eurasimo. When your position is losing, you added more lots? Yeah. So my strategy is I hate to lose money. I cannot lose money because... I talk about this with Henrik before often. So your first mentor, your first teacher in the trading world is always in your mind and you cannot change it. What this guy teach you, it's always in your mind. And my first teaching from my early mentor was the casino rule. So the casino rule, I can explain it for you. The casino rule was, you go to the casino, you lose $100. Fine. Then you put $200, you lose $200. You put in $300, you lose $300. Then you put in $500, you lose this. Then you put in $1,000 and you get back $5,000. One point, you get the winners on your side. It's only the question and how long it takes. And this is in my mind always. Always when I have losers, this means for me, hey, maybe now I'm in a losing position, but when I add and I'm really good in adding in my losers, then I become more profitable. So I add always to my losing position. This is one of my key strategy, adding to my losing position sometimes. But when I see that this makes really not sense because the market goes against me completely wild, or I don't know, something is completely going wrong with my trades, then I get out because it makes no sense. Otherwise, I have a big fat loss. And the biggest challenge with adding to a losing position, in my view, is to add wisely to your losing position. Don't be too fast. And it's also the beginning of your position. Give you an example. So when you start, when you have maybe only as maximum buying power, 30 NQs, and you start with 5 NQs, then you're in a big fat position. Then you must add 5 again to get the half average price. After then you have 10. So then you must add 10 NQs that you can halve the average price. But after this, you have no change to come back from your losers. So when you add to a losing point, it's always the point where you start your trading. If you start with one NQ, and then you add two NQs, and then you have three, then you add again three, then you have six, from 6 to 12, from 12 to 24, something like this, then this is a good strategy. It's always how you start your trading, and then make a decision if it's valuable to add to losers, how many ticks are you far away to get and profit, and all the stuff. So it's sometimes it's not easy to say add to losing trades. They give many, many points of view how you can play this really safe. I hope this makes sense.
I think this is interesting, Patrick, also, because you're adding to your losers, and I have tried to do that as well. And I cannot manage it really well. I took back some money, but I also blew some accounts due to it. But I add to my winners. And that's something we have been discussing, that you don't like to add to your winners.
Yeah, I lose always when I add to my winners.
You add to your winners, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So I think then we are back to my first person that I listened to when I started trading. He was always adding to his winners, and I kind of found that I implemented it as a natural part of my trading, so to speak. So for me, it's kind of natural to do it.
Yeah, it's always the first person where you listen to, maybe on YouTube, on a podcast or something like this. This every first person, this brand your mind so hard. And for every new trader, this is a big fat advice. Take your mentors or your gurus or what you watch to YouTube very wisely. Don't follow any stupid bullshit gamblers, traders, I don't know. Because it's with brain in your mind so hard and you cannot fix it. You cannot fix it. It's always in your mind. Yeah. So Murat was asking me, how much percent would you let a trade lose until you exit? Murat, this is not a good question. So yeah, please come on. Come on to the camera. I have no percent, because when I have a rule, you think to have a rule, to have a percent when it's bad and when it's not. For me, it's I have no rules like this. For me, it's always I watch the market. When the market gives me the opportunity that I can add to my losing position, then I will do this. But when the market punched me in the face, like what I say to the beginning, everybody have a plan until you get the punch in the face, then I get out. And no matter what, how many percent it is, when I see it goes completely wild and I have no change to come out, this because maybe you think in percent, I think in ticks, how many ticks are far away from my break even. So when I, maybe you trade the MNQs or NQs or something like this, if you may be far away like 60 ticks or 70 ticks, it makes no sense anymore to add to your losing position because the average is too bad. And when it against you again and the market goes crazy and maybe you're short and it goes up again, then it goes so fast that you have a big fat position and you blow your account. And in this case, I have no percent rule. I watch the ticks, how many ticks are far away from my break even. And I watch the market condition. Is the market goes completely my direction? Is the market goes wide? Was there any news? I watched the level two. I watched the resistance from QQQ, from the SPY. If there's something what I can see. And when something makes no sense, then I'm get out immediately. I give a shit about persons.
Yeah, no, I agree with that explanation. I just want just a reference for myself. Let's say, I don't know if you put stop loss, if you don't put stop loss, it seems like you don't.
I don't.
When would you add? Let's say you think it's going to reverse. How much in loss would you start adding? Like how much would you let your trade sit?
Yeah, I can give you some insight what Henrik and I was thinking about. So we were thinking many times about this, when it's a good time to add to your losing position and when it's not a good time. A good time is it when your ticks is maybe 40 or 50 points, under 40 or 50 points, then it's maybe a good decision to add to a losing position. When the market condition goes to your side because you have resistance and now it comes back down or something like this. But when you're over 50 ticks or maybe over 40 ticks, then it's make no sense to add to your losing position. Then it's too late. And this is why I can give everyone the advice. If you're some guy who add to your losing positions, you must have always in the mind, what is my max position size? And then break it down to your first position size. So start maybe you have the max position size is 10 MNQs, 10 NQs. Start with one, then add one again. Then you have two, then you half your ticks. Maybe you're 30 ticks away. Boom, you add one NQ, then you're only 15 ticks away. Maybe it's possible that you get break even or you make profit and then you make really good profit because you have a really good average price. Then you'll find yourself in a big profit position. And then maybe you're on the 15 and it goes back to 27 ticks. And you see maybe now it's a good time to add again. Then you add two NQs because you want half your tick size. Then you have four NQs. And then it comes to be a little bit dangerous. With four NQs, now when you see your doom or your P&L, now it goes really fast. Now you must be having strong mind because now your P&L is rising and you see your losses very quickly or you see your profit very quickly. And then it's a good point for you to know, make it sense again to add to my losing position or I'm going out. Because now it makes no sense again, because I have a big position. Four NQs is maybe a big position. But when you see the resistance, it's maybe only 10 ticks away, then add again four. Then you have eight NQs. But if you go 30 ticks far away, go out of your position. Take your ass out of it makes no sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say to you, go out with two, go out with two, go out with two. Go out with every position that you have. Close it directly. Go flat directly. Because it makes no sense more. Take the losses. But be careful when you start. Start with, if you really the person, what I say, if you start really, you're adding to losing, it's your strategy, one of your strategy. Start very, very small. That you have the good points to average your prices. Very, very smart. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest point. Many traders make it completely wrong. They start maybe with two NQs and then they add to your positions. But you're directly in a badass position because to average your price to half, you must add two. Then you're on four. And after the four, you have only one shot left. Then you're on eight and then you cannot add anymore. When you have only 10 NQs as a power. So if you start one, you can go to two, you can go to four, you can go to eight. You have more possible positions to add your losers. So maybe you must make a calculation for yourself. If you're a stock trader, a Forex trader, futures trader, or someone else, how much can I add to my position before it comes really bad?
Yeah. Thanks for answering. I asked because it's very different from my trading style, so I wanted to kind of learn more about this approach.
Yeah, but when you ask me about adding to a winning, I'm not the one to add to winning. I cannot add to winners, so every time I fuck completely up. My style is more like adding to losers. I don't know why, but yeah, my first mentor was teaching me the story from the casinos and why billionaires cannot trade in the cannot go into the casinos because they will win every time. They have so much power. And this is my rule on the adding to the losing position. Make it so smart that you have enough power that you get the point where you get profit. Mm-hmm. And most people who are adding to the losing position, they lose because they add too fast or they add too big or something like this. They have not smart strategy. Okay, so Henrik, we have now the last point of today. What are the three biggest lessons Henrik learned doing his mentorship with Patrick? Oh, let's go.
I think my single biggest lesson was to not accept to lose money. That is something that that I really take with me and that I have changed. So, yeah.
Tell the story about this. when I kick your ass? It was in the early stage, yeah?
Yeah. That was one of the first days or first week, I don't know. I don't remember exactly, but you were saying like, why the fuck do you give back your money? Something like this. And, you know, even a lost profit is lost money, because I had a tendency to go up, like, I don't know, 20 points or something like this. And then it came back on me and I was suddenly down 15 points. And you say, you idiot, you're stupid, something like this. Yeah, why do you give back your money? And that really started to make me think. And I can only say that trading like this with someone who's been doing it for so many years and to be that intimate as we have been with our discussions and trading has made me look at many things very differently, because I think that it's so easy to get stuck in this in the trading environment where you're talking about, you know, accepting your losers and be okay with losing money or be okay with the process taking time and all of these things. But I was I'm here for one reason. I want to make money, and I want to make money as fast as I can, and I want to get rid of my other job, and I cannot wait one more day to do it. And the only way to do that, in my opinion, at least for myself, is to really dig into, I don't know how to explain it, but to trade for the money. Just trade for the money. Make sure that you get money on your account. That's it. That's the only thing you have to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I remember on two things. I think the first time when I was kicking your ass, when I was your IP in the TAP program, and you say, yeah, I'm happy, I lose only 10 US dollars for the week, and I think you get a big private message from me over the chat with traders, and I say, how you can be happy to lose money, what motherfucker you are.
Yeah, but that was the turning point for me. I was asking myself, you know, first of all, yeah, I was a little bit, what the fuck is this? What's he saying? Like, you know, then I started to think, yeah, he's right. Why should I accept to lose money? That's not right. I'm here to make money, not to lose them. So that, yeah. I can just say that was a turning point for me. And it doesn't matter what I do otherwise. I mean, I think we should all strive to be a better person and to live healthy and all these things. But at the end of the day, what really matters is if you make money or not, nothing else.
Yeah. And the second point where I was remember, I don't know if this was the early stage also, but I was telling you the story about retail traders and professional traders. So retail traders, I get completely unlucky, frustrated when they take losses. Yeah, so they get completely pissed off. But they are happy when they make, when the stock was maybe on 500 US dollars, it was 500 US dollars in profit, and they came out with maybe 250 US dollars or 200 US dollars, and they get so happy. Woo! I make 200 US dollars. Woo! I'm the king. You remember? And then I told you, man, they are completely what for stupid people. They are happy that they lose 300 US dollars.
Yeah.
Because they it's completely stupid. Man, they lost on 500 US dollars and losing 300 US dollars and they are happy. Completely bullshit.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important to, when you have profit, take the profit. Man, you cannot say if you get a strong pullback and you lose your profit, or maybe you find your ass in a losing position. But when you have the profit, it's on your bank account. And you will find always a good point to enter again in the market, but you have your profit in your bank account.
Yeah, and that is the second lesson, I think, that you can always enter again. And I was always worried about the spreads or the fees, you know, again, the fees, and on the CFDs, it was the spreads. That, okay, if I enter again, then I will lose so and so many points or whatever by entering again and not holding this position. But I would say, looking, you know, hindsight, then I actually make more money now by just taking the profits when they are given to me, and then being very alert to just go in again if the market shows that it wants to continue. So definitely this is the second lesson. The third one, I'm not sure. What do you think, Patrick?
The third one. I think the third one was the tools. You feel naked when you have not the level 2 data or when you have the news.
Definitely.
So this was one big impact on you. And how to read correctly the level 2, how to read correctly the time and sales data.
Yeah.
So how to read correctly the option flow data. I remember when I show you the option flow data, your mind was completely blowing. So I was talking to you, hey man, look at this big option order and watch the chart, what was happened. And you remember, completely mind-blowing. So you were seeing how this would work. So, and this was some, I think this was a big, great impact. And the last big, great impact was the news. Yes. So how important it is to have good news so that you can now have an idea. Can I go short now? Is this news really good or not? Or can I go long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's the third lesson, to use those tools for sure. And right now it's become like, I don't think I even think about it, the time and sales, you know. I just see it flickering. And when I see it flickering in a different way than it was before, then I think, okay, shit, something is happening. Maybe I need to get out, you know. So.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Henrik, speak to your audience. I must go for 1 minute to washing.
Yeah, that's a saying we have, because when you need to go to the bathroom, we say that we need to go to Washington, because that's something that Steve said, and we couldn't make out what he said. Because we are not native English speakers. So we say, I mean, if we need to go for a piss, then we go for a piss. And if we need to go for a shit, then we say we need to go for a shit. We don't say that we need to go to the washer. But this is what Steve said. And we said, what's he saying? You need to go to Washington? What's that? So that's what Patrick is doing now, taking a trip to Washington. In the meantime, while I'm here alone, I don't like to be alone, but still, if somebody has any questions, then go ahead.
I guess I have another question. I think it's really cool that you guys worked so closely together for such a long time. And being new in this community, is that something that's quite common, or did that happen organically, or did you reach out to Patrick, or how did it start?
I don't know. It's as I said in the beginning, he was my accountability partner from the start, yeah. And I guess we just started to communicate a little bit more than what is required, perhaps, from an accountability partner. I guess we are different in some ways, but we are also much alike, I think, in other ways. So we kind of found a common ground to discuss from. And then I don't remember how it happened, but I think when we started trading together, it was more like Patrick said to me that, come on, you need to show your chart. So that I'm not bullshitting him, you know, that I can say whatever I want to say when I'm reporting to him. I can say that, okay, today I made X amount of dollars and I took 10 winners and I had 2 losers. And he was like, come on, show it to me. Show me the chart. So then we started to trade, you know, over Zoom. And I had my chart on live, you know, for him to see. And then when I took a trade, and I had the markers on the chart as well. So as soon as I take a trade, there will be a like a mark. I trade with Ninja Trader, so you have this arrow, you know. And he would just tell me, "Ah, that's stupid to take that trade. You know, what the fuck did you do?" And then I'm like, "Oh, sorry." Yeah. So that is accountability. That is real accountability.
Excuse the last interruption here. This is Tessa. We hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you love the podcast, please give Chat with Traders the best review you can on whatever platform you're listening from. This will help us to keep the episodes coming. Also, if you haven't subscribed to our email list, please hop on to chatwithtraders.com and click on subscribe so we can keep you posted of information that may be of importance. Thank you. Now back to the chat with our guest.
For sure. And then it just kept on, you know, we just made it a habit.
Yeah. And we trade now every day together. So, yeah. And Washington is washroom. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I explained the story to the guys. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, nice.
I think us northern people, the Scandinavians or whatever, the Europeans, maybe we're not so sensitive. So we just say when we need to go for a shit, then we say it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I missed a point, so fuck. I was thinking another good point what we have learned together is when you work together with someone, it's not important the money, if you spend money for mentorship or something like this. It's more important how much value can give each other. So when I remember when I worked with Henrik, so we give us together really great value. So we shared together many things. So he was sharing with me his insights from his backtesting. I learned something about him because he's an engineer. He has a completely other mindset. And I share something with him. So what I was told you, it's always how you can give value for other people. If you chose, maybe you are in a TAP program and you have an AP, it's really important that move together, have value. So it's, yeah, you are the accountability partner, but at the end, it's good to have value. And me and Henrik, maybe it was a fantastic match, but what the biggest learning is for myself, it's the value what you can give each other. So, and I would say the value what Henrik and me is giving is 50-50. So I learn also many things from Henrik. But I think the biggest lesson is you need someone who's guiding you. You need someone who's professional. So what I will mean with this. So if you have some partner who is on the same level like you or a little bit above you, he have not so great impact. He cannot guide you really hard. So I'm 16 years in the market. Henrik is maybe 2 years. 1 year, 3 years, I don't know. But I have the impact of him that I can guide him. I can show him the way, how we can go to the funded level. I can motivate him. I can show him the way. So I think the biggest lesson is you need some professional. You need some professional who guide you through the process. Maybe I'm wrong, Henrik, but
no, absolutely.
I think this is the number one.
Absolutely. And it's so pushing me forward when I see someone who I can, in a way, identify with on a private level. I see that person making the kind of money that I want to make, which is my goal. And I can see how he's doing, I cannot see maybe how he's doing everything, but I can see the process, in a way, what he's doing during the day. This gives me a completely different perspective, I would say. And that is a kind of perspective that during these 2 months that we've been trading for the prop firm challenge together, these 2 months, I think, have given me as much as I've been given from whatever I've been doing before for 8 months or even a year. So this means everything. And I think I would recommend anyone, even if they are not as lucky as I was, to find the right accountability partner at the very start and to connect with that person, then I would rather pay for it. I mean, I would spend whatever $100 or $1,000 to get someone who is really doing this for a living to show me his ins and outs and what he's doing, for sure, 100%. And that's what Patrick has been doing. And that's I'm really grateful for that. And besides that we have fun, then I think that I'm really privileged also to be trading with Patrick and that I can give him some value also. That is, I'm really happy if I can do that, for sure, right?
Yeah. Okay, so, wow, 10 o'clock now, but...
Almost so, 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours, nice. But yeah. We are now open for questions, so maybe we can have 10 minutes for the questions round. If someone has questions, he can come on and ask every question what you have.
Yeah, Patrick, I have a question. As you said, you had it more lots when you had like losing positions, but you do that with your own account, right? Not with Propinger.
No, again, it was English is my second language. Sorry. Can you replay slowly, please?
Okay, so when you had it more lots, like the strategy, right? What you explained. Before you do it on your private account, on your own account, right?
Yeah, I do it both. I do it on my private account.
You don't do it with prop firm, right?
Yeah, I do it on my private account. I do it with prop firms and I do it with investors.
So
I do it with everyone. So if someone was trading with me from my investor side, they know what they get. So they know I'm the crazy one, but they know they can make tons of money, but they know that they can lose money. So it's and for my private account, I do the same strategy. This is why when you watch the podcast, I blow up so many accounts, because sometimes the strategy doesn't work. And sometimes I told you 99%, the strategy works so good and you make so much money. And then you have the 1%. Where you lose everything. If you don't cut your losses very fast. And this is what was my learning. And this is what I was teaching before, to have a good strategy to add you to your losing positions. I have before any good losing strategy. I was adding as a shit. But now I have a good strategy. I will think I have a good strategy.
All right. Yeah, I mean it works with a big account. Like when you trade with millions, sure, it's like it works with 100%. But when you need to build an account with prop firms and everything, you know, you need to be technically with your heading position that you said before, right?
Yeah, correctly. And you can do it with a small account also.
Yeah.
So
you
must not. Maybe you trade shares or I don't know. But when you normally buy one lot, 100 shares, you can start with 10 shares. You can start with 20 shares and then add to 100 or something like this. So it's always like your starting position.
Now I'm understanding more your strategy and how you work. Yeah. It's clear. Okay. Thanks a lot, Patrick.
You're welcome. Always welcome. Nuno, let's go.
Hi, Eric. One question, because you are still working, I think, how did you manage to organize yourself to be able to trade live with Patrick? Did you commit to a certain schedule or are you able to remotely work? So what's your process? Because I am in that situation and maybe I can learn a lot from you about that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And that's been one of my biggest headaches, I think, in all this. Because first of all, I was very privileged also there, let's say 1 year ago or a little bit less, when I started to really dig into trading. I had a colleague, a former colleague of mine, who basically just wanted me to give him technical advice. And I think I have gathered a lot of knowledge and experience over the years. So when it comes to technical stuff and in the marine sector, then I can give a lot of good advice, I suppose. And he was just simply paying me for being there. I was just sitting next to him. We had two offices and we have a door between our offices. And we're just sitting there in me in my office and he is in his office. And I'm just trading. And then when he want to ask me something, then I have to answer him. That's one thing, yeah. But then, I'm working remotely also a little bit because I'm kind of helping a couple of companies with making drawings, engineering, and calculating load calculations and these things. I try to get rid of this as much as I can now when I see that the trading starts to really work. But I'm still working like, I would say, 2, maybe 3 hours a day with that other job. And it gives me enough to have the security that I don't have to rely 100% on my trading performance. But it also gives me enough free time to trade with Patrick and to trade 100%, especially now when I started to trade the American market. So then I come to work around 9:30 in the morning, yeah? And then I just spend 2-3 hours on my company, on my customers. And then after lunch, I kind of start to prepare for the markets. And then at 3:30 our time, European time, we start to trade. And then I trade until 10 o'clock at night, and then I review my trade. So I'm home by 11, maybe at night. And then it goes again, 9:30 next day, I'm back in the office, I take care of my customers for 3 hours or so. And that's how it goes.
Yeah. And we miss one point for the funded files. He was make holidays. Yeah.
Yes. I said to everyone that I need to have a holiday. So I made it a complete, at least I tried to, I did my best, I would say, to make a complete break from all my other jobs between the 1st of June until the 18th of June. Because I thought that, this is the time when I really need to prove to myself, do I have the capability, if I can concentrate 100% in trading, do I have the capability to make it, to get myself a funded account and to really make the kind of money that I could live from? So I took that vacation and I was 1 week late with getting the funded account. I didn't make it for the 18th of June. I made it for the week after, but still, I think it proved a point for me. And that was very important psychologically. It was an important step to take, to just tell people that, no, I'm not available. I really wanted to focus on the trading. And that was important psychologically as well for me.
Totally respect, Henrik, because I really know how difficult can be to commute between the work and the trading and the trading and the work. I also try to reserve to myself about 3 hours trading in lunch because I am in the UK time. Mm-hmm. And it's a mess. But but it's the only way now. But like yourself, I also would like in the future to reduce hours in the work and commit increasingly to trading. Yeah, many thanks.
If you have if you want to discuss this further and more in depth, then we can do it later, Daniel. That's
fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, and also Henrik, I remember we have a discussion about this. Yeah. So I was told you not to be soft with your customers. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in a big world, in a big company world, if you send some email to someone, maybe you get feedback in 24 hours. This is completely normal. You remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was told you to talk to your customers and say them closely. Hey, this is my time. Where I here to answer your calls, where I answer your emails, and this is and the other part is my working time. I never answer any telephone call. I will never answer any email because this is my working time, and I will not disrupt in my working time. If you disrupt me in my working time, then you have pay a bigger fee.
Yeah.
You remember on our discussion about this?
I remember, but I know that I have such a big problem with that because I'm a type of person that when somebody asks me for help, then I want to please, I want to help. And it's so difficult for me to say no to someone who is asking. And I cannot say that I went 100% of the way that we discussed, but I went a lot further than I expected that I would. And I'm happy that I did that. And I think it's very important actually to be consistent, to trade every day and to see it, to really see it as a job. I said that it was a turning point for me a few weeks or a month ago, that I don't see the problem to treat trading as a business anymore. I feel like an employee of the markets right now.
employee of the market, man.
Yeah.
Nice. This is the biggest word today. I'm the fucking employee of the market.
So I just have to please him when he's ready to please me. And that's, you know, then I get something.
This is a good quote, man. I'm the employee of the market. Nice. Okay. Other questions? No? Perfect. Then we are done.